This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast.
Today's episode is on colostomy irrigation.
I wasn't paying attention when I was sort of infusing the water, and I think I put too much in essentially, and it just freaked my body out a little bit.
Imagine you've got a feather in front of your mouth and you have to blow gently to keep that feather afloat. Sounds ridiculous, but if you do it, you can feel yourself calm down.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. As I've said, today's episode is on colostomy irrigation. It's actually originally taken from one of our webinar Wednesdays, which is available to also listen and view on the Coloplast Professional website, www.coloplastprofessional.co.uk. And it was a fantastic discussion myself and Paul had with two of our ambassadors, Sarah and Samantha, around their experiences with irrigation. We're coming in at the point now, Sarah and Samantha are just introducing themselves.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I've had a colostomy for almost 17 years now due to a pesky, persistent rectovaginal fistula that did eventually get fixed, but at the cost of my sphincter. So the colostomy is here to stay. I actually started irrigating 3 months post-op when I was supposed to be temporary because I was struggling with pancaking and I was forever pushing the poo down in the bag. And I just thought it would make the difference to me. And oh my God, did it make the difference? And when Paul says he loves irrigation, there's no way you love it as much as me. And the other thing I was going to say is that I'm really disappointed to hear that it's going out of fashion, because this is a game changer. And if patients are able to irrigate and they would like to irrigate, you've got to let them try, because there's no word of a lie. It sounds almost evangelical, but the peace of mind it gave me, it totally made me accept the stoma. I'm in charge. I make it work for me. I almost feel a little bit guilty for being part of the ambassador group, because I feel I'm at such an end of the scale where I just have so few problems, touch wood, very quickly. And it's down to irrigation. It made such a difference to me.
Hi, I'm Samantha. I've had my colostomy since 2018 and I've been irrigating since 2019, like Sarah, 3 months post-op. I actually went into my stoma operation with a plan to irrigate. I was offered an ileostomy or a colostomy. I know not everyone gets that choice, but I decided I really wanted to give irrigation a try. And like Sarah says, it's a game changer. It's a really great method of managing your stoma, especially if you're having problems like pancaking, having to take lots of laxatives if you're really constipated, those kinds of things. It gives you sort of a sense of control which has been taken away from you, and that's really invaluable when, you know, your body is yours and sometimes you think, oh no, there's nothing I can do here. This gives you an element of control and that's invaluable. I'm also really, really disappointed to hear it's fallen out of fashion. I had to essentially gather my own information about it and do my own research, and luckily found someone who was willing to teach me. But I absolutely would advocate for any colostomate trying this if it's suitable for them. It's not suitable for everybody. But yeah, would love to spread the word, and I think it should be offered to everyone. And they can decide to take it or leave it, at least give it a go and see if it really improves their quality of life like it has done mine.
We couldn't have two more powerful people, could we?
No, and the one thing that really stuck out for me was they both use their control, the control factor, and that's what I really loved.
And it's kind of for both of you, as I say, I know you both kind of, you both listened and you focused in on that thing of, you know, irrigation is going out of fashion, so to speak. Because if we look at irrigation globally, places like the States, it is almost the chosen method for colostomy management because of their reimbursement, and they have to pay for the, a lot of their products. So for a lot of colostomates in the States, irrigation is it's the norm for that. But Sarah, I'd like to pick just one thing that you said, and given both what yourself and Sam have both said about irrigation, about this feeling of control, et cetera, I know that when you said when you started or when you were offered irrigation, it was almost as a problem solver for your pancaking. So what message would you like to give to nurses specifically about it if they are seeing it as a problem solver?
I think it is a problem solver. I mean, I don't get leaks because I very rarely get any output. So my skin is never compromised. And you could argue I only had a stoma for 3 months before I started to irrigate, but I tried lots of things for the pancaking. And in the end, there was nothing that, I mean, pancaking, if somebody could solve that, they'd make a fortune, wouldn't they? So if a stoma nurse was seeing somebody with problems, I mean, I'd like to think it would come up before that. But if they're seeing somebody with pancaking who's getting leaks and sore skin and they think they could be a candidate for irrigation, then bring it up. And the first time I learned to irrigate, it was all fingers and thumbs. My stoma nurse was fantastic, and I had 3 sessions with him at the hospital. But I felt like I needed about 5 hands, and it was a nightmare. And I regretted that chicken korma I'd had the night before. But within a week, I felt like a pro. And everybody who irrigates, I think if you lined up 20 people who irrigate, they would all have a slightly different technique. And I'm a scientist, and I went into it going, please give me a protocol. Please tell me how much water I'm going to put in, how long it's going to take. And they're like, no, it doesn't work like that. You learn to feel. I went, no, rubbish, it's scientific. But genuinely, as a, you know, scientist, didn't think I'd get the hang of it. But you really, really become in tune with your body, and you start to feel how much water is enough, how long it's going to take. So back to the original question. If you think you've got a candidate for irrigation who's having these problems, it could completely solve those problems. You know, unless I drink too much red wine, eat too many peas or something like that, I very rarely get output. And so I just don't have those problems. So it's just not even on my radar. And I mean, I'm going on holiday in a couple of days. And for me, I irrigate before I get on the plane, and then I don't even have to think about it. It's just got so many different factors of control, I think, of the part of the control you lose. Again, if you're a colostomate who has output once a day and you know when it's going to happen, you probably don't want to irrigate. But you hear of so many people who have unpredictable stomas, and just, you know, for their work, it could be more convenient to know that they're going to have an empty bag for 23 hours or something. So I would just say to them, if I know teaching irrigation takes time and skill, and nurses may lack in time, they may lack in confidence. But as I said before, Hannah, when I win that lottery, we're going on an irrigation roadshow around the country, and nurses, I'm coming because I'm going to help.
Thank you for that, Sarah. And I think, you know, it is that thing of, you know, and again, you keep talking about it. And again, it does fill me with this feeling of positivity when you talk about control, because I know a lot of ostomates, be that ileostomy or colostomy, but specifically colostomates in this instance, you know, you have that feeling of lack of control, you know, that inability, you know, you lose that aspect of bowel function.
I'm not denying that it takes time. You know, some people, you know, I have heard of people who have been told by nurses, I don't think it's for you. Well, frankly, I think that's for me to decide if it's for me. I had a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old when I started irrigating, and a full-time job. Arguably, I could say, I haven't got time for this. But you work it into your routine. I sit on my deck chair by the loo. I've edited articles. I've written articles. I play an awful lot of Candy Crush. I watch Netflix. It's, you know, and it's just part of my day. I don't like doing it. I would much rather not have a stoma. I don't like my stoma. Never going to like my stoma. But if I've got it, damn, we're going to make it the best I can. And that's what irrigation does for me.
Perfect. Oh, amazing. Sam, and again, very similar, you know, because we looked at Sarah's start of her journey, and she's very much sort, you know, it was almost introduced as a problem solver for the pancaking. And when you did your introduction, you were saying that you went out and kind of had to get the information about irrigation. So was it something that you were aware of preoperatively? Was it something that you'd heard of? Was it, again, was it used as a problem solver, or was it something that you'd heard of and thought, actually, no, this is going to be for me. I want to take some control for myself.
Well, it was slightly unusual how I came about learning about stoma irrigation, because I was using the Peristeen transanal irrigation prior to getting my stoma, and various iterations of irrigation systems. And one of them came with a cone, and it said for stoma irrigation. And I just thought, oh, you know, it could be used rectally, but it could be used in a stoma. And I thought, that must have just stuck in the back of my mind. Then when discussions came up around having a stoma, I thought, let me look into this. Like, irrigation itself transanally worked really well up to a point. And I thought, let's see what this is all about. And so I got trusty Google, I went on Facebook groups, I read all the literature. You know, as someone with a medical background, I kind of know what not to look at when I'm Googling, and what is reputable sources of information. And I thought, this sounds like the best solution for me. So an element of continence, which is what I was lacking. And I just read as much as I could about it, so that I went into it with my eyes open. I went to the sterminist, I said, this is what I want to do. She was a bit shocked. I don't think anyone had ever gone in and asked her to do it. She said, sure, but we don't really do this very often. And I just thought, why? why? And then it kind of went from there. Post-op, 3 months post-op, when everything had kind of settled down, I was actually introduced to the electric pump one. It's no longer on the market, I don't think, but it didn't work for me. And so I went to the gravity bag, and I haven't looked back. You know, like Sarah says, it's not always without its problems. It does take a while to get used to. Everyone has their own like tips and tricks for using it. You've got to work with your body. So going back to the original question, they didn't introduce it to me. And I wonder if they ever would have done. I also have severe pancaking, because my kind of underlying condition is a neurogenic bowel with severe slow transit constipation and incontinence. I wonder if it would have been offered to me as a solution for that pancaking, which I tried everything available, like absolutely nothing worked. Even if now I go a few days without irrigating for whatever reason, I get severe pancaking and I think, oh, I better irrigate. So yeah, I think it should definitely be used as a problem in that toolkit for nurses, as a problem solving toolkit, but also I think preemptively talking to patients pre-op, this may be an option for you. And widening that scope of what's available and what might make your quality of life better, maybe sort of giving a bit more hope to the patient who's really, really worried about how on earth am I going to manage this.
Both of you, you know, we talk about this during the preoperative stage, this discussion, potential discussion, because hopefully the majority of patients, depending on their journey to stoma formation, if they've seen a stoma nurse before, you know, lots of patients, you know, things like the base plate selection is discussed, the, you know, the pros and the cons and the potential complications. And I'm completely with both of you guys that colostomy irrigation should be introduced, not necessarily into massive amount of detail, but introduced as a plausible routine after colostomy formation. And it goes back to, and I almost make a very, I can make a very similar sort of argument stroke transition to, and again, I know with Hannah's journey when she had her ileostomy with her IBD, you know, there comes a point when stoma formation becomes a viable treatment option rather than all of the medical treatment options. And I know, you know, we do hear that thing of, unfortunately, medical management has failed you and you need, you know, unfortunately you'll need a stoma. And I know that almost every healthcare professional cringes, especially those that focus in the stoma care world, cringes when they hear those words being said, unfortunately you're going to need a stoma. But I know from my personal experience, I feel it should be part of, if somebody's going for a colostomy, mentioned within that preoperative period as a viable option post stoma formation, if it obviously it is an option and open to them, and there's, you know, the contraindications if they're still not going for, you know, continual cancer treatment, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, etc. So, you know, there is that definite option for for buy-in into colostomy irrigation.
Coloplast Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk to find out more.
One of the other things I just wanted to bring up, and I know it's Sarah, something that you're very passionate about, and Paul's going to twitch now because Sarah is our Judith Chalmers as well, as well as being our colostomy expert, she is also Judith Chalmers and jets off on some wonderful trips. So therefore not stopped by colostomy or the irrigation side of things. So I wonder if you could, I know I've spoken to you about it before, Sarah, but just tell us a little bit about your setup when you go abroad and how you cope with that side of things abroad, because that would probably be a lot of the concerns that patients go to their nurses with about irrigation is, if you're abroad, things like that, different water, etc.
So I was told that if you can drink the water, you can irrigate with it. So that's the first thing I would find out. If you can't drink the water, you're normally in a country where bottled water is very inexpensive. If I've stayed in like an all-inclusive resort, I ask them to deliver me water every day, and they've always said yes. If not, you pop to the local shop and buy it. I take my travel kettle. I take an extension lead. I take my travel plugs. I'm very careful. You normally get a plug socket in a foreign bathroom, but I'm very careful. So I normally put it all up on a little stool. And I've got some lovely pictures of my setup in various places. And then I just carry on. So I've got a travel kettle. So I will boil some water, then add that to room temperature. Just, you know, you stick your hand in, get the right temperature. And it's always worked. And a traveling irrigator will have normally, I take an S hook with me in my bag and a sticky command hook. So I'm going away in a couple of days, and we're actually staying in six different places. So I've got a variety of things in my pack. The command hooks are very good. So they're sticky. I get the giant ones because you're holding like 2 litres of water. They've always worked, but I can never get the buggers off the wall again. So I tend to leave them there. So if anybody wants to follow me on the holidays, there's a ready-made irrigation centre. But I'm always a bit worried about causing, and you're supposed to just be able to pull the tab and they come off, but I'm a bit scared. So I leave the hook. So I normally take a few. But, you know, often if you're in a standard hotel setup, Premier Inns are brilliant because you've got your toilet, you've got your basin, you've got your shower. So the shower curtain is a perfect place to hook. And I've never not been able to find somewhere to hang the water bag. So in terms, and like I said before, in terms of travel, I would still advise the normal travel advisories, you know, eat things you're safe, you know, are safe for you before you travel. But I've got the advantage that I will irrigate the night before an early flight or something and be fairly happy, as long as I don't drink the red wine in the plane, that things will stay quiet till I get there. So it's taken a lot of worry away from me, actually. Doesn't mean I still don't take, you know, oodles of supplies and a few drainables in case you have an upset tummy, all of the normal things. But I think it's made traveling with a stoma for me easier to navigate, if anything.
Have you had any experiences traveling, Samantha?
Yeah, so I'm from South Africa originally. I've still got family out there and regularly go out to visit. Haven't had too many issues. I suppose the one thing to consider is if you're sharing accommodation with people and there's just one toilet, I find that that's tricky. And I'm going to be staying with family in Portugal later on in the year. I will probably not irrigate there just because I find it all a little bit of a smelly mess. And if I do that in my own bathroom, I've got the whole setup, I can clean up after myself, I'm not taking up time for everyone else. But if there's lots of people sharing the same bathroom, that's just one thing I do find tricky. Like Sarah says, take lots and lots of supplies with you. S hooks. Sarah's even got me out of the scrape before by providing me an extra S hook when we were away. So yeah, now I take a few as well. And your stoma can behave strangely on holiday for whatever reason. Sometimes you can't identify the source, but I've had a few sort of upset stomachs and I never get that when I'm at home. And so yeah, just always take many more supplies than you need, and the airlines will always give you free extra hand baggage allowance for that.
I love how, you know, how you, when you, you know, you get both do talk about your free, you know, the freedom that it does give you, and you know, the life that you're living with your with the colostomy irrigation. My next one my next kind of question would be, because obviously we have to talk about the pros and the cons, and we know that there can be cons and there are some contraindications with colostomy irrigation. I know there is some information on coloplastprofessional.co.uk, so anybody watching, please, you can go on there, you can do a search for colostomy irrigation on the Coloplast Professional website, and there's some really good information will come up there. Also, you've got all the guidelines on colostomy irrigation through the ASCN. So again, if you're not a member of the ASCN, please become a member of the ASCN. It's a fantastic organization to join. They've got loads of different guidelines, and colostomy irrigation is one of them. And from my personal experience, from talking to nurses about irrigation, lots of the nurses are concerned about the potential complications, such as spasming, you know, fluid not going in, fluid not coming out, and the occasional, and again, I've taught a lot of people colostomy irrigation, and I've had probably two people have a vasovagal at their initiation of colostomy irrigation. And it is a known, you know, it is a known thing that can happen, especially when somebody first starts colostomy irrigation. So from both of you, and I'll don't, you know, again, you can fight who wants to answer first. You know, have you experienced any of those classic complications from in relation to irrigation, especially the spasm and the vasovagal, which I know a lot of nurses are the biggest concern for nurses if they're not used to irrigation? Mm-hmm. They're the big concerns that a lot of them talk to me about.
It's interesting because I actually had one of these vasovagal attacks not long ago. And like I said, I've been irrigating about 5 years, never had anything prior to that. So that when it did happen, I thought, why am I so unwell? I actually ended up, whilst the sleeve and everything was attached to my abdomen, lay down on the bathroom floor because I was sweaty, clammy, dizzy. I thought I was going to be sick. And I thought, oh no, what's happening here? And then I actually spoke to Sarah afterwards and she says, I think that might be a vasovagal attack. I spoke to a few people and it transpired it was. And I wasn't paying attention when I was sort of infusing the water. And I think I put too much in essentially, and it just freaked my body out a little bit. But once in 5 years, can't really complain too much. But I think stoma nurses will be aware of it when teaching and not flood the person's system with water straight away. Another thing that I have experienced is, whether it's related to the irrigation directly or not, is but I've been told it might be a prolapse of my stoma, because you're constantly, well, what the word they used was instrumenting the stoma, which normally it would just be left alone to do its own thing, but you're constantly inserting a cone into it. They can't really prove one way or the other whether that was the cause, but I suppose that's perhaps one thing to look out for. Otherwise, I think I get cramps every time I'm about to get a flush of output. So I get several sort of flushes each time, and it's not pleasant, but it's not unbearable. And it actually makes me think, oh great, we're getting some out, because that's the aim of the game. And then, you know, there's no long lasting ill effects.
There's a few things I guess I've learned over the 16 odd years. If I have the water too cold, then that's when I might feel, I suppose, I'm not sure what you mean by spasming. I think that's what I would get if I get cold water. And I know literature says water at 37 degrees. And I think I'd have to say anecdotally, I'd like it a little bit warmer. Bearing in mind that this water sat up in the reservoir for a little bit of time, I put my hand in and I figure if it's comfortable for my hand, then it's probably safe. Now, I'm not medically trained, but that's what I do. So warmer water is better. And you may find if you can't get the water in, it might be because you've got a lump of hard poo waiting to come out. So if the water sort of hesitates, if you pull the cone out, you might get a little nugget pop out and then it goes back in easier. I was on a forum when I learned to irrigate, which doesn't exist anymore, but somebody on there said, an anxious bowel doesn't want to be irrigated. So you have to, a bit of Candy Crush is ideal. But I was told, and this sounds really weird, but somebody said, imagine you've got a feather in front of your mouth and you have to blow gently to keep that feather afloat. Sounds ridiculous, but if you do it, you can feel yourself calm down. And a calm bowel seems, if I'm rushing to go somewhere, I always allow, it probably takes, well, I'd say it takes me an hour most days, but that's because I might be finishing a Candy Crush or watching something on Netflix. So it could be quicker, but I always allow a couple of hours if I've got to be somewhere, because if I rush in, then it doesn't go so well. So, you learn little tricks yourself. So little hurdles. And if you're not very hydrated, I've lost a couple of litres of water in me when I was on holiday because I was clearly dehydrated. So I don't overhydrate myself. I probably don't even drink enough, and it doesn't make too much difference. And some people say the time of day is a big factor. I go to work very early in the morning, and my bowel was always active in the morning. I thought, well, how the hell is this going to work? But my stone nurse said, well, try the evenings, and actually it works fine. And now I know everybody's recommended to sort of stick to a reasonable pattern to start with, but I irrigate when it works for me. If, you know, I might irrigate, I work early, so I might irrigate late afternoon before dinner, I might irrigate after dinner, I might, you know, I've got quite a fast transit, but I can push it for 36 hours. So I'll skip Friday, or do Friday night, skip Saturday night, and do Sunday morning, and then I can sort of jump across the weekend. So little mishaps happen, but there's normally, you know, give the cone a little wiggle and see if that makes a difference. And, you know, just gently move things around, and water will hopefully go in normally.
I did have to chuckle when you said slightly warmer water, because again, I thought back to the ASEN colostomy irrigation guidelines, because there is a line in that, and please don't quote me on it because I'm not going to read it verbatim, but it does say, you know, using warmer water has been told, you know, has been said to improve the irrigation and irrigation results, but this is not evidence-based. You know, it's pure, it does say that it's purely anecdotal. And again, I speak to so many ostomates that do irrigate, and they all do say slightly warmer gives better yeah. results. But I have to say, because it's, you know, there's nurses listening, it is not evidence-based, it's anecdotal, and we have to go by the, you know, the ASEN guidelines as our governing body. And they do say, as I say, body temperature 37, but as I say, anecdotally, just like Sarah, you said, slightly warmer, lots of people get good results from it.
I've just thought of another tip in terms of getting the water in. I often have had times when the water just comes straight out again, and what I do now is I put some like lubricating jelly on my finger, put my finger inside the stoma, find which direction it's pointing that day, because I just assumed, you know, the bowel is straight and it would go straight in, but mine's got a bit of a shelf because of the a mesh repair, and it's kind of affected the direction of my stoma. So I just find if I do that, then I can angle the cone in that way, and it seems to help it flow, and just sort of also wiggling it a little bit so it's not sort of stuck on the end of the bowel. Sometimes that can happen as well.
As you probably know, I know you've done a few of these with us at Coloplast Professional, we do love a top tips. So as to irrigation champions, if you had to give any advice or top tips to stoma nurses about irrigation, what would you say are your top tips to nurses, or the best bit of advice you can give to nurses in relation to irrigation?
I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned yet, and which was quite important to me when I was taught irrigation, it's quite an intimate thing to be in a toilet with two nurses and your belly's out and poo's coming out. And I just found the whole thing a bit overwhelming. And I was really conscious of the smell, really, really conscious. And I just thought, I wish if I did that again, I wish I could tell them it would really be helpful to have some, you know, deodorizing spray or drops or something like that, just to make the whole process a little bit less embarrassing. And I know, you know, stoma nurses deal with poo on a day-to-day basis, and it's probably not a huge issue, but I think for the patient's dignity, that's quite important. And I think we've covered quite a lot of top tips today, haven't we? I think For stoma nurses who are maybe new to irrigation, don't know huge amounts about it, find out everything you can. And if you meet a patient who does it, ask them loads of questions, because I think everyone will be more than willing to educate and to share their experiences. And, you know, because there's lots of little hints and tips. People do it differently. They have different routines. For example, I clip the bottom of my bag up and I let the output all drain out, whereas I know Sarah puts the end of the bag into the toilet, the sleeve into the toilet. And it's just what works for you. Really sell it as a positive, not as a something that's going to take up a lot of time or be a drain on you, something that's really going to have a massive positive impact on your quality of life. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Amazing top tips. Sarah?
Please, if your patients are interested, please do it. I feel gutted to think that there are nurses out there who aren't confident enough to teach. I totally get why. And I just so wish there was something I could do about it, because it just makes such a difference. And I think maybe we could look at doing like a top tips, like leaflet or something. Because, I mean, everybody's different, but there's so many things you can try. So please try. That would be my top tip, is to please try and encourage your patients and have the time to do it. But in terms of teaching somebody, it felt like an absolute faff my first time. And I could have possibly walked away, but I just needed to be reassured that it will feel like a faff at first, and like you need five hands, but you will. I honestly, genuinely do most of it one-handed now while I'm playing Candy Crush with the other. And it is just part of time. And yes, it takes time, but make that time work for you. And in terms of the practical tips, there's so many little tips we could give. I could give you hundreds of them. So, but just please try.
I'm intrigued to know what level of Candy Crush you're on by now.
That was going through my mind, and I was thinking, is it an appropriate question to ask? But you've mentioned it so often, so come on.
I've started playing this new Royal Match one that came out at the beginning of the year, and I think I'm on level like 3,000 or something, which I quite like. But I use it as a bit of a me time and love it. I did have one little thing, is I did irrigate a Granny Smith label once. That was my claim to fame, was what the hell is that? And it was a Granny Smith label. So it's also quite interesting what you see coming out.
And you know, I don't think there would be a better comment to finish on than I remember passing a Granny Smith out. I irrigated a Granny Smith. You know, sometimes we're looking for one-liners for these webinars. And I think we've now got the one-liner for this webinar is, I irrigated a Granny Smith label.
And if we as ambassadors can help nurses, I'm sure Samantha's with me that we're all for it. If anybody wants to get in contact, I am absolutely more than happy.
Yeah, and just to echo that, thank you so much. And for the nurses listening, if they do want to make contact with Sarah or Samantha, just drop us a message and we can give out your email addresses for them to reach out to you if they've got anything they want to discuss directly with you.
Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit collarplusprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Collarplast Professional.